Welcome to episode 3, and what a few days it's been, full of historical moments and one that will stay with us forever. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Sophie.
And this is G'day from GOTB. So, a quick fire of what we've done since the last episode. I think we were in the Sunshine Coast when we did episode 2, right?
I can't even remember that far back. It seemed like years and years ago now. We have been to Sydney.
We have. We made it to Sydney, got to our base, explored a little bit, saw the touristy sights.
It was very nice seeing it all decked out in like the World Cup banners and everything. It felt like there was a real tournament going on, a real buzz.
Yeah, and we had a lovely dinner with Destination New South Wales and the Irish media, overlooking the Sydney Opera House. It was the perfect spot.
Yeah, you could not get a better view for dinner.
So shout out to Destination New South Wales for that. It was lovely. And they made our first official open training session and pressers for Australia and Ireland. We picked up our accreditation, all of that kind of stuff. And then, of course, the incredible fixture last night. So lots of exciting things, and definitely felt like the tournament was starting, and I feel like it kicked off the two games. Plenty of excitement, despite them only being 1-0 each. It was very, very exciting. So where do we start? I mean, for me, firstly, like, we've got to talk about the fans to start with. A bit about the Irish fans. We met in Sydney and we saw videos as well coming out from Australian bars of the fans there as well. But we got out of a cab yesterday, an Uber yesterday, and we were a few streets away from where we wanted to go, and you could hear the Irish singing.
Fields of Athenry. You could just hear it echoing up from the rocks up to where we were parked. So yeah, we had to go down and have a look, and they were all there in the bar. I think it was in the Mercantile Hotel on the rocks, which is where they were hanging out with the Irish flags and singing their songs and having a jolly good time, as the Irish generally do.
Yeah, and like really keen to talk and to chat, and there was a lot of pride from the fans that we spoke to, and fans of all ages as well, which was pretty cool. And you had fans that lived in Australia, you had fans that had travelled over. There was a group of fans that were lovely to talk to, who were on holiday but had made sure they booked it so that they could be in Sydney for the match. Here's a little bit of what they had to say. Now, bear in mind, we are in a bar trying to talk to them, but they said some lovely things.
We're fitting it in. We've had a great holiday. We love the Aussies, but we're here to support the Irish. My daughter, our daughter's living in Coogee, and we're very fortunate to get tickets, and we're thrilled. So, and the blue skies are out. The luck of the Irish, we hope.
And of course, we were down with Cadbury, down on Circular Quay. It felt like there was loads going on.
There was, but in different places. So we never actually made it to the fan park this time round. We will go back next time. But yeah, there was like lots of different things happening all over Sydney. So we headed down to Circular Quay for the Cadbury activation. But yeah, bumped into Rhianna Jarrett down there as well, obviously an Irish player. So she's over for the tournament. It was great to catch up with her too.
Bumped into so many people. It is a bit ridiculous. I know we're all in the same country at the moment, or a lot of us have travelled over, but we are in different cities, first of all. And even in different cities, they're big cities, and still we're bumping into people that we know, which just seems so weird.
Yeah, especially, well, I mean, it always happens to the Irish as well. I mean, you bump into people that you know in the most random of places. It just seems to be an Irish thing.
True, and there were two people we were talking to, I spoke to on the steps of the Sydney Opera House, two Irish fans. And during the course of the conversation, they said that they'd known each other and played football together 10 years ago, and they hadn't seen each other since. And they had just bumped into each other on Sydney Opera House. They hadn't planned it. They just bumped into each other. And that was like the most Irish thing I could have imagined. But yeah, it was really special chatting to them. It really felt like an historical moment, and it was really cool. Then once we kind of wrapped up, it felt like a busy day. Like, I think the thing about the time zones is that you feel like you've got a bit of a morning, right, before everyone in England wakes up.
Yeah, well, you've got until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon before things start happening back home, and then everything erupts back home. So you have to get in that quiet time in that morning.
Yeah, but suddenly then there's loads going on and you're juggling lots of stuff, and it goes on into the night as well, obviously, because we're trying to go to bed anyway. While everyone's still doing plenty of things at home and still reacting to games and stuff like that. But we headed to Stadium Australia. Bloody hell, that stadium's huge.
It's absolutely ginormous. I was there 26 hours before, roughly, and I was in the, I walked out into the, I just went into the stands to have a look around, a sneak peek. And you could hear a pin drop in it, and it was just like the calm before the storm, and just thinking how many people were going to be inside it, you know, just over 24 hours later for the opener. It's quite a special moment. I do like doing that. So yesterday when it was actually full of people, it was a different experience altogether.
Yeah, and we wandered around outside. There was some cool stuff going on. There were some bars close by which are full of Aussies. There was a stage. There was people playing drums. Speaking of playing drums, there's someone upstairs playing drums. Do you mind? We're trying to record a podcast here, and I don't want to have to get back in the closet again. Although there is one there, Sophie, we might do it. But yeah, there was drums, there was fire. There was loads of fire.
Yep,
that was really unexpected.
And yeah, lots of Aussies, very, very happy. They were all out watching the New Zealand game before they came into the stadium for the Australian game. So they were all in the bar around the corner watching that as well. So yeah, really, really good experience. Really good vibes, I think.
And then we got into the media room, set ourselves up, and what happened?
All hell broke loose, literally in like the space of 5 minutes. So maybe, 90 minutes before kickoff, there's like a murmur in the media room, and it literally ripples from one side of the media room to the other that Sam Kerr is not... It literally ripples from one side of the media room to the other that Sam Kerr is out. She is out of the first two games, at least, with a calf injury that she picked up in match day minus one training. Absolutely gutting for her and for Australia as well. It must have been a devastating blow because they do, while they've got so much talent within their ranks, they do base their play around her. She is their sort of talisman, as it were. So yeah, it literally rippled across the media room in the shock. And then as that happened, all of the screens were showing the New Zealand-Norway game, and there was a penalty, the VAR penalty check, and then stepped up and missed a penalty. And there was just like this collective like gasp, sigh, then rippled the other way across the press room. So it's just like this manic 5 minutes of like, what the hell is going on?
I tell you, as an Irish person, your reaction is obviously, okay, this maybe gives us a bit more of a chance if Sam Kerr isn't around. But then as a football fan, I'm like, you want to see Sam Kerr here. You want to see her captaining her country, leading them out into their first World Cup, to host a first World Cup. So it's a weird one to experience as an Irish person, but also as a women's football fan in general.
And I think it's just, it's the worry that, you know, they say two games, but that now it calls into question, will we actually see her in the group stages?
God.
Or how bad is it actually? They did a really good job in the pre-match press of sort of covering it up, and mm-hmm. they were, Tony Gustafsson and Sam Kerr were laughing and joking. They were joking about backflips and all of this kind of stuff. But they already kind of, although Tony did say he didn't know the extent of it, mm-hmm. they already knew something had happened. But yeah, that's just the big worry, that when will she come back or how bad is it? Because they haven't been that clear, they just said they'll reassess it. So that is a worry. But yeah, for Ireland, it probably gave them a bit of a boost because they knew they had to deal with one less weapon. Yeah, for sure.
And then we came to the opening ceremony, which was brilliant. They had a welcome ceremony, and I think it was had both Maori and Aborigines involved, right? And that was cool. The light show and the smoke, and felt really cool to witness that. And then the anthems. Yeah. My God. I'll be honest, I shed a tear.
You sent me a picture of your little face, like all welled up and like you've been crying. And I was like, oh. And I almost cried as well. I was, it was emotional because there was this really loud pocket of Irish fans behind the right-hand goal. And boy, did they make a noise. I mean, we know that they travel well and they support well. But yeah, in a stadium like that where you're sort of outnumbered, they did manage to get there's the songs across. They were singing Fields of Athenry various points throughout. They were incredible.
Yeah, the moment for me was actually when they unfurled our flag. That was when my, like, it caught in my throat a little bit and my eyes welled up a little bit to see our flag unveiled on the biggest stage, the bloody biggest flag I'd ever seen as well. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, when I went round to take my spot in the photography area, I had those fans behind me, and this is what it sounded like for me anyway. It was probably louder for me, but just to give you an idea of the singing, here they are. The first half, what did you make of it? I feel like Ireland's game plan, they did what they wanted to do in that game plan.
I turned to the person next to me at half time and I said, that is exactly what Ireland wanted. They wanted it to be tight. They wanted it to be cagey. Yes, there were a couple of moments where maybe Caitlin Ford or Courtney Vine broke through, but they recovered really quickly. So the back three worked so well. So say when Heather Payne out on the right wing back role, when she lost out, they would immediately swarm over the two of the central defenders to cover for her and cover that space. So there weren't actually very many clear-cut opportunities. The best opportunities Australia had were from set pieces, so from corners, and there was that Hayley Rasto one, I think that was the closest. It just missed the far post. But yeah, they did really well to limit the spaces, limit the options for Australia, and they also threatened on the counter. The problem for them on the counter was that Kyra Caruso was so isolated. So there was a lovely one where they won the ball back and Katie McCabe's ball literally just, Ellie Carpenter jumped for it and it literally just dipped overhead and perfectly for Caruso. But she was all on her own and she just got muscled off the ball. So if she'd had someone with her, maybe there would have been options. But I do kind of understand that game plan from Vera Port Power. It's just, you know, opening game of the World Cup, first ever major tournament. You just have to kind of make it solid, I think. And I know we'll get onto the second half probably in a bit, but yeah, I think it was a sensible thing to do.
I feel like Australia, though, despite knowing probably the day before that Sam Kerr wasn't going to be playing, they were still playing like Sam Kerr was playing. And I felt like they were sending a lot of long balls in. Like, I do think it would have been a different first half if Sam Kerr was there on the end of those corners. You mentioned Rasso. There was a real battle between her and McCabe on the wing. I'm surprised neither player got a yellow card, to be honest. Although my biggest frustration is that there's a photo floating around of Katie McCabe, and the way it's been taken, because it's been taken from up in the stands, it looks like Katie McCabe has gone with a foot to Rasso's chest. And what's, you know, I'll be the first to admit that Katie is a feisty player, and it frustrates me sometimes how easily she's wound up, especially when she's captain. But that, I think that picture is really unfair, because that is the result of her being taken out by Hayley Rasso, and she's on the way down to hit the deck. Her foot's not in Rasso's chest, it's just the angle of the photo. And I just think that kind of thing's really unfair, because it invites, you know, a lot of criticism and a pile-on on social media, and we need to be a little bit better about that. But yeah, that was a real battle, and I'm surprised neither player went in the book. The only card in that game was Denise O'Sullivan for dissent, which is mad.
And the ball had gone out, so like, I don't understand. The referee, I don't think, was brilliant. She didn't have complete control of the game, and there were tackles from both sides. It was a tenacious, it was always going to be
but
a
I
physical
do,
encounter. So
if you get on top of them early on, cut them out, and she didn't. And of course, then we came back, second half, Australia came out better in the second half, more up for it. You were saying Tony Gustafsson told them, you've had your stressful first half.
Yeah, he said basically, right, you've played 45 minutes of a World Cup now at home. Like, the nerves are gone, you go out and play. And then he said, for the first 5 minutes or 7 minutes, they did that, and then they didn't. So, but they managed to get their goal in that 7 minute period. So that's all that counted, I guess.
Yeah, and here for me is what it sounded like: 75,000 people, or maybe about 55,000-60,000 people, when that first goal went in. Steph Catley, who was captaining the team that night, this is what it sounded like in the stadium when that goal went in. Australia scoring their first goal in this World Cup, a penalty. Now, to be fair to Ireland, I mean, Australia did come back almost immediately, I think, through Mary Fowler to almost double their lead. But I felt like Australia then decided to sit back and try and hold on to that 1-0 lead, which is dangerous. And Ireland came at them for the last 10-15 minutes, and they were so unlucky not to get an equaliser.
I don't think initially it was intentional from Australia. I think they were probably a bit surprised by how quickly Ireland regrouped. Because they did, they gathered themselves very quickly, and as you say, Fowler almost scored, but then Ireland sort of re-energised themselves. And I think Vera Power was saying in the post-match press conference that she thought her side looked more football fit than Australia. So, and she said that they could have played another 20-30 minutes and been at that high level, and that showed her how they were able to compete and how they were ready to be at that level. And to be honest, for Ireland in that last 15 minutes, all they were lacking was a bit of luck. They needed the ball just to fall a little bit in front of Katie McCabe, or,
you know, for the header from Louise Quinn not to be quite so, I think she was leaping too far or something like
she
that.
Was,
so
she wasn't was far, just, was she?
It was just those, like, we always say it's a game of inches, and it really was in that final 15 minutes, and they gave it a bloody good go.
Yeah, I'm really proud of that performance. And the other thing I want to say, like, Marissa Shiva obviously gave away the penalty. A little bit clumsy, two hands in the back. You know, the referee's always going to make a decision. But I have to say, some of the coverage in Ireland about that, I've been really, like, shocked by. The Irish Times put out an article with the headline, Ireland were doing so well until Marissa Shiva's unforgivable lapse in concentration. Like, imagine putting that in a headline. Someone's first major tournament.
Like, you don't want lapses in concentration, but every team has lapses in concentration, and the majority of goals are scored by lapses in concentration. Yeah. It's just part of the game, and it wasn't like she flew in on Hayley Rasso. It was clumsy. She bundled her over. It was a penalty, but yeah, it wasn't unforgivable. It was just part of a football game.
Yeah.
And Vera again in the post match press conference said, you know, it was a mistake. But we don't blame her. Like, everyone makes mistakes, and there's no blame on Marissa at all. It's, you know, it's her first World Cup.
Yeah.
It's her debut in a World Cup. There's a whole lot of things going on, and that is definitely not her fault, the reason why they lost the game.
And I know journalists don't write their headlines for their articles. I appreciate that. But when you go in to the article, it's much the same. It's savage, it's brutal, and it's totally unnecessary. That was the second game of the night. Obviously, mm-hmm. we're starting there because, you know, little old me, being Irish, and we were there. But over New Zealand, they technically officially kicked off the tournament. They took on Norway, and more history was made. The Kiwis won their first ever World Cup match.
Yeah, in front of a record crowd.
Yeah.
It was the highest ever football crowd in New Zealand. And sort of, I don't think any of us predicted that, even though we know that Norway has struggled recently. But I always did think that after the sort of depressing last tournament of the Euros, they would kind of find a way to sort of regather themselves. But yeah, what is it about Norway and major tournaments? They just don't seem to click at all.
Yeah, and I think you look at the stats and it looked fairly even in terms of possession, in terms of shots created, in terms of chances on target. But, you know, New Zealand missed a penalty. It could have been 2-0. And New Zealand have been on a terrible run of form in the last 10, 12 games or so. And you look at that Norway squad, that front, that midfield and that forward line, how that team...
Front three of the best players in the world.
Their midfield are incredible as well. Like, I don't understand how that's not clicking together. And that's a worry, because that's a team that should be... that's a team that should be dominating on the big stage. Not just, like, easily getting out of their group, but dominating. So I don't know what's happening there.
I mean, we've always known that the defence isn't great. And it's never really improved. And it was the same problem last summer. You looked at their squad and their attack is absolutely stacked, but their goalkeeper and defence isn't. But still...
You're not scoring goals,
though. That's, yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, something that I imagine is going to have to be looked into. And it kind of throws that group wide open, really.
It does. I predicted in our 90-man predictions that the Philippines would get out of the group. And I wouldn't say no.
I don't know. I'm thinking maybe more likely New Zealand and Switzerland. But we shall see. So current time here, we have just finished watching Canada and Nigeria. They're the other two teams in Group B with Australia and Ireland. And what were your initial thoughts on that match? It ended 0-0.
Christine Sinclair had a penalty saved. Yeah, it was a great save. There was another great save down the other end by Sheridan. On a one-on-one situation, and she kind of made up for a moment of madness earlier in the game where she sort of came flying out, completely missed the ball and the challenge.
That did end up being offside, but she didn't know that at the time. It was flagged very late.
No, it was a bit reckless from her. But yeah, it was 0-0. There were some feisty challenges in there. Quinn in the first half was lucky to get away with it not getting a yellow card. There was another one in the first half as well that was lucky not to be yellow. And then in literally the final minute, I think, pretty much, or final 5 minutes, Abby Adon got sent off. It was a really, really nasty challenge. Late, it could have done Ashley Lawrence some serious damage. Luckily, she's okay. She got up. She continued. But yeah, the VAR did its job, and the referee sent her off. So yeah, the first red card of the tournament. But three games in.
Nigeria will be delighted with that, and obviously Captain Nadozie between the sticks, being the hero of the match. You know, that wasn't the only save she had to make. So they'll be delighted to get points off Canada.
I think everyone but Canada is happy in Group B right now because it suits Nigeria, Ireland and Australia, of course, because now Australia are primed for top position. And Ireland will look at that game and think that they can cause Canada some problems.
So next up, in about half an hour's time, on our time, not when you're listening to it, guys, God knows when you're listening to this, but it is 3 o'clock our time, and we're coming up to the second game of the day, which is Switzerland versus Philippines. Really looking forward to that one, Matt, after what you've said, to see how the Philippines get on. And then we've got Spain versus Costa Rica. I'm just really looking forward to seeing all of the teams play once, so you can just get an idea of where everyone kind of is.
Yeah.
That's what I'm most excited about.
And I think there's quite a few injuries floating around at the moment, which is a worry. You know, Jessie Fleming was on the bench today because she picked up a knock in training. Lena Oberdorf is potentially out of the first game for Germany. Yeah, there's these little niggly injuries.
Alexia Putellas, really keen to see if she starts.
Yeah, she was training away from the team last week because she'd been playing too many minutes after coming back from the ACL. I think Barcelona probably handled it really well and maybe Spain a little less well. But yeah, who knows where she's at. So it's going to be interesting to see. But yeah, a few niggly injuries flying around the place, which is kind of probably more of a leveler for some teams than others.
Absolutely. Well, that's a wrap on episode 3. We are planning to release our next episode tomorrow, and I feel like we'll have plenty to summarise and plenty to look forward to. Thank you so much for listening.